Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Shepherd of the Hills. It's a great fall day to be in the house of the Lord. It's warm. Would you stand with us this morning as we worship the Lord? You are worthy of my praise.
Your love, O Lord,
praise you this morning. You give life, Lord, you are love.
You give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. You only.
You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out.
And let's go before the Lord and let's lift up to him the things that may be a burden on our hearts this morning. Maybe you're walking through something that is challenging and hard, or maybe you know someone in your home or in your community that is walking through something that is difficult. And Lord, we do. We thank you. We thank you for gathering us here again this morning, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that as we lift our hands to you, as we praise you, Father God, that these things that we are preparing to bring to you, we begin to feel your peace with them. But we ask, Lord, this morning, Lord, we ask that you be with those who are going through some medical issues, Lord. Lord, we ask for your hand of healing. Lord, we ask that you be with those who are struggling with sadness or depression, Lord. Lord, would you give them your peace? Lord, would you be with the families that have conflict? Lord, would you heal that brokenness, those relationships that have been torn apart in these last few months or even these last years? We lay them at your feet, Lord. We lay all this at your feet, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. For those who don't know, my name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you've come here, you know that you will find me standing back at the prayer chapel. And I'm back there because if you would like to sit down with the pastor and have prayer or some counsel this morning, that's where you will find me. But right now, if you would you turn to the screens for our children's message?
Hey, good morning, boys and girls, and welcome back to Shepherd of the Hills. I'm Pastor Charles here at Walmart. Boys and girls, last week I was at Target, did some shopping after my mystery box, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to do some price comparison and see which is better, Target or Walmart. I will say, the quality of stuff at Target seemed better to me, but the people at Walmart, they are the best. I'm enjoying walking around talking to these people about Jesus. Now, I have my mystery box today, and you have sent me something inside that I'm going to turn to a message about Christ. So let's see what you give me today that I can turn to a message about Jesus. Ah, boys and girls, this is a Junior Ranger Valley Forge National Historical Park badge. There's no name on it. I'm not sure who this belongs to. Maybe it's for me. That's pretty cool. It has a little pin in the back, and I can pin it to my chest, and I become a Junior Ranger. So that's pretty cool, boys and girls. Now, this is for a national park. This is for the national park over at Valley Forge. I actually don't know much about Valley Forge. I know a little bit about national parks, but when I see this, it's in the shape of the shield, and the first thing I thought of was authority. That's the first thing that came to my mind when I saw this pin. I thought of the authority that these rangers have. See, they're working at these national parks, and they're trying to make sure that the people at the parks are doing what they're supposed to be doing, that they're not breaking things, that they're not trespassing in spots they shouldn't be at. And when you're at these parks, you're supposed to submit to the authority of the people who are there. And then I think about in the Bible where it talks about the idea of submission to the authorities. And we recognize, boys and girls, that whoever is in leadership, whoever is in governance, whoever has authority, they have been placed there by God. We understand, boys and girls, that God is ultimately the one who is above all things. He is what's called sovereign. He is over all the authorities on earth. There are no authorities on earth who exist that God hasn't allowed to exist. So I want to encourage you, boys and girls, to submit to authority. But ultimately, remember that you're submitting to Christ. I want to encourage you, boys and girls, that when you're submitting to authority, that you're doing so in the love of Jesus, that you are trying your best to show his love to others. And with that in mind, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these kids. We thank you, Father, for your authority, understanding, God, who you are, that you are a God who created us, a God who loves us, a God who died for us. I thank you, Lord, for the governance that you have placed in power, Lord, that they work as a result of your will. And Father, even though they are imperfect and they don't always do what you would wish, I'm so thankful, Father, that you have a plan for our world, that ultimately, Father, you are the one who sits on the throne, that you will be the judge over all things. Thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I'm going to walk through the aisles and try and talk to more people. You guys take care. Have a good week. God bless.
The kids can be dismissed to Children's Church and the Care Room. And we want to thank the ministry for dancing with us here today in worship. It was really a blessing. And welcome to everybody in church today, everybody here in the sanctuary, everyone throughout the building, the folks who are with us online. We want to welcome you too. We've got people in the parlor, in the foyer, people out at the park right now. And so thank you for coming out with us and welcome to church. Just a couple of quick things as we can continue in our service today. First of all, if you're visiting with us or if it's your first time here in a while, we do have a gift for you that looks a little like this. It's a bag, and inside of this bag is a water bottle. There's a brochure in here to read all about the church and the ministries. And by the way, if you're looking for brochures to hand out to somebody, we have those there at the welcome desk as well. But there's one in here. There's movie tickets in here to the Boyertown Theater. There's also a gift card in here to go shopping in our bookstore we call Chronicles. It's over there in the parlor. It's got Bibles, books, teachings. It's got devotionals, things for education, for kids, for homeschool stuff, all stuff on marriage and family. You name it, we got it back there. And it really is a good resource. So we want to encourage you to check that out. So there's a gift card in here for that. Just stop by the welcome desk, let them know you're with us today, and we'll be happy to get you one of these. And speaking of our bookstore, we do have as our book of the month for November. It's called Practicing Thankfulness, Cultivating a Grateful Heart in All Circumstances. We have more of these. We sold out of these last week. We didn't expect to do that, but we did. But we do have more in stock if you're interested in it. It's not a very thick book, but it's a great book because it's all about having an attitude of thankfulness and the benefits that come from that, not just emotionally, but also psychologically, spiritually, relationally. When we have a thankful attitude, those folks tend to be healthier in general. The blood pressure's lower. They sleep better. Depression rates just plummet around people who are intentionally thankful. And so that's just a great book. Again, it's not very thick, but it's a powerful read. $10, we're going to pay your sales tax on that if you're interested in picking one up. And again, that is our book of the month for the month of November. When you came in, you passed by some brown wooden boxes, those little towers there in the aisle we call agape boxes. They're there for your tithes and offering and any prayer requests that you may have, you can drop off in there. And the prayer cards are in the seat back in front of you, and they used to be little tiny index cards, but we were having an issue. We had so many of different ones. We had a white one and a yellow one and a pink one and a green one, and so now we just have one yellow card, a contact card, and on here you can certainly let us know how we can be in prayer for you, but you can also do other things. If you want to be in the church's directory, if you want to receive the weekly newsletter, I'll talk about that here in a second. If you have a prayer request, if there's just another note you want to pass along, or, and we added this, if you would like a visit from a pastor or a phone call from a pastor, maybe not a prayer request, you just want someone to come by your house and say hi. We'd love to do that. But we don't know who to go visit if you don't tell us. We just start showing up at people's houses. They're going to call the police, and we're going to get pepper sprayed, and the dog's going to get set loose. So we just know how it's going to go. So we don't want to show up unannounced if it's not something that you're looking for. But if it is something that you would like, we certainly want to be there. You can do that through this as well. You can do all of that online. Go to our website, soth.church. You can give there and get our bulletin there. You can also submit prayer requests there, get the mobile app there. It's a great tool, great resource, and I do want to encourage that you use that. As Jason mentioned just a minute ago, if you have anything that's on your heart and you want to pray with a pastor about, our prayer chapel is open all morning, so that is there. We do have some things that I want to make sure everybody knows as far as coming up this coming week. On Wednesday, we're having our family meals continue. This is from 5:15 to 6:15. This week, the menu is grilled ham and cheese or grilled cheese. It'll be your choice. Sandwiches with tomato soup. There'll be salads, desserts. We just ask that you bring your own drink. And so it's a great time of fellowship. We're able to kind of hang out for about an hour. It's buffet style, so you don't need to be there at any given time. But I do encourage you show up a little earlier than later, because right at 6:15, we've got to tear down the room and turn it over so it can be used by the youth group as a gym later on. So you probably don't want the dodgeball going through your tomato soup, but that's what they're going to be getting ready for. So we want to make sure they have the space, and we have the space, which means right at 6:15, we start breaking that down. But that's happening on Wednesday. Also, we have our verse-by-verse service on Wednesday. We're going through the book of Micah. Our youth group meets on Wednesday at 6:30. The service is at 7. So there's a lot of stuff happening on Wednesday. Next week, we do have a couple of things to share with you. First of all, we had planned a leaf raking ministry project for our youth group. It was going to be next week, but due to circumstances beyond our control, it will now be rescheduled to the 23rd, so just a Saturday later. That means if you would like the youth group to come to your home and rake your leaves, and you didn't sign up, you've got a whole nother week. So let us know if you're interested in that, but we're now planning on that being the 23rd instead of next Saturday. But next Saturday, we do have an event. Our ladies' ministry is having a gathering in our fellowship hall. It's going to be at 10 o'clock, and it's a cooking class. They're going to learn how to make pasta. And if you know how to make pasta, you know there's just nothing like homemade pasta. We made some yesterday, and I was showing our kids how to make pasta. Oh, it's just so much better than the stuff in the box. It's a lot of work, but it really is better. If you'd like to learn how to do that, you can sign up either online or through the kiosk, but that's going to be next Saturday at 10 o'clock. Next Sunday at 12:15 after the third service in the library, we're having a Shepherd 102 class. This one is on the Calvary Chapel distinctives. And what it's all about is what makes us unique as a movement. It's not a very old movement when you consider how long other church groups have been around. I mean, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Reformed, all these groups go back hundreds and hundreds of years. Calvary started in the 60s, and it has grown to be one of the biggest associations of churches in the world, and the Lord was really in that movement. So we want to teach a little bit about what it means to be Calvary, what the distinctives are, what the culture is. There's no charge for it, again, but lunch will be provided. The only thing we're asking is let us know you'd like to come so we know how much lunch to have. You can sign up at the kiosk, or you can do it online, but again, that's the 17th at 12:15. Starting in December, we're going to be start sending out weekly newsletters, and these newsletters are going to be pretty much all-encompassing. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in it. There's articles in there from the pastors. There's going to be updates about the property and projects that are going on. There's going to be bulletin information in there, ministry information in there. We're even going to have a corner that we're calling our Servant of the Month, and not to say that this person is better than all of them, but we want to intentionally highlight people who serve in the church. Because, look, I stand up here on Sunday morning, and I know for a lot of people, this is all they tend to see of the church, especially if they watch from a distance. But the truth is, what I do is probably like the smallest part of what happens here at any given week. We have so many faithful people that come out and they help, and we want to let everybody know about them, that they are there and they're valued and they're vital to the ministry here. So there's going to be a section about that. That newsletter is going to be emailed every week on Friday, again, starting in December. If you're interested in that, you can sign up a number of ways. You can do it through the contact card that I just told you about. You can do it at the kiosk, or you can do it on the website. You don't have to attend here if it's somebody who's listening online, or maybe they're listening on the radio and they'd love to just know what's going on with the ministry. Great way to keep updated with what's happening here at the church. But again, that's going to start in December. If you would like to sign up for that, please do let us know. We have our shoeboxes continuing, our Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes there in the foyer, and we are doing so well this year, so thank you. I shudder to say how many because I don't want the urgency to pass, but we do have still a couple of weeks left, and there's millions of kids in the world that need this kind of message. Statistically, many of the kids who receive a box have never gotten a gift before, so that's something to consider, that the first one they'll get is this. But also to consider that, you know, right around 10% of the ones who do get one will then give their life to the Lord. So I've said it before, but I mean it. How cool would it be to be standing in heaven and you look next to you and there's somebody there and they say, you know, I'm here because of the box that you packed and you prayed over, and thank you so much for taking the time to do that. I never would have known about this place if it wasn't for you. So the idea that we can have a very real impact in the kingdom that way is just phenomenal. You can still take boxes home, but the bring back hardcore date is November 24th. Because after that, they're all going away from here to the regional distribution center. You can bring them back anytime before then, But that week specifically, the 17th through the 24th, we're going to have drop-off options here at the church. You can bring them back on Sunday. Even if you come after those drop-off times, if there's staff here, we can help you. But we are looking for those to come back to us. There's still time to take one and pack it and bring it back, certainly, and there's boxes in the foyer. So if you're interested in that, if you're willing and able to do a box, just understand that really could be somebody that you save and you have a real hand in that. So it's going to be a good ministry. It's going very well, and that is continuing. Well, on December 7th, we have Deck the Fellowship Halls, and this is where we decorate the church for Christmas, from 10 o'clock to 12, so not very long. There's snacks, there's coffee, but we need help. We have trees to set up, we have ornaments to put up, we have garland to put up. We really do make it festive around here. And so if you're one of those people that puts up like 18 trees in your front yard and you're decorating right now, your house has lights on it already, you have the gifts we're looking for. Really, anybody who's willing to come can help, but especially if you're a decorator, we would love to have you join us. That's December 7th from 10 to noon. Again, there will be snacks and coffee and stuff, but it's to decorate the church. Well, there's always more going on than we can talk about, so please do check in your bulletins, check the flyers around the building, online, social media, all those places. And if you have any questions about anything, please do let us know. But for right now, if I could just invite us all to go in our Bibles to Psalms 100. We're in a series for the month of November that we've called Thankful. And it's all about having an attitude of thanksgiving toward the Lord, an intentional attitude of gratitude. And so this week, our message is called Thankful Through Our Praise, and it's in Psalm 100. I was out eating with the family this week, and it's interesting how the Lord just puts these experiences in your way and how so often things in the week fall in line with the message on Sunday. But we were out eating, and the waitress paid our kids a compliment that we hear sometimes, but it's always nice to hear. But she pointed out that every single time they asked for something, they said please and thank you. And she said just how polite that is. And then she mentioned this. That as a waitress, she rarely sees that anymore. And I was kind of surprised at hearing that. It was kind of discouraging. I mean, not that our kids weren't. She said they were great. It was that she doesn't see that happen very often anymore in this society. And it surprised me because that's how I was raised. My father was a strict disciplinarian. I mean, we were a military family. And I was taught, you say please and thank you, and you treat adults with respect. And if we were out at a restaurant and I forgot that, I was reminded of that in the form of my father's size 11 shoe coming under the table and right into my shin. And so I would forget the please or thank you, and the next thing you know, the whole table would shift. Oh, please, thank you, and then I'm rubbing my leg for the evening. I was reminded. There was no room in our family for rude behavior. And so I was taught to treat people with respect. People you don't agree with, people you don't like, people who are different from you. It doesn't matter that every person was entitled to a certain level of dignity and respect. And so that's something that we've tried to teach our kids. And it's just nice to know that it's sinking in from an unprompted, unrequested comment from a stranger saying, oh yeah, we can see it. It is interesting we don't see more of that in society, though, because we live in a day and age when people are obsessed with the rights of others, the right to be treated fairly, the right to be respected, the right to not be discriminated against, the right to feelings not being hurt, the right to equal pay, the right to say whatever it is we want. When I was a police officer, we would often tell people their rights. And my favorite was, you have the right to remain silent. Although many people didn't have the ability, they always had the right. It is interesting, though, that in a world absolutely obsessed with rights and respect for people and human dignity and all those things, that we don't see more kids saying please and thank you. We even have people that march for rights. The rights of animals, the rights of the trees, the rights of the environment, the rights of whales, the rights of all of these things, minorities and ethnicities and other nations. And yet it seems like more and more it's rare to see somebody actually appreciate the rights of others. We just had a major election in this nation, and for some people it went very well, for other people it didn't go the way they wanted. But regardless, our country decided who will lead us in the next 4 years. And for the next 4 years, the individual who won will be attacked and called every name in the book. And I think that no matter who wins, that's terrible, because that is still a person. That's still an image bearer of the Lord. It's still a person Jesus died to serve. And they need prayer to lead us well just as much as anybody else does. And so I do believe that every person, regardless of who they are, deserves a certain amount of dignity. And I hope our nation remembers that. I really do. But here's the thing. People will not treat other people with respect and dignity if we do not first treat God with respect and dignity. You see, without an appreciation for the Creator, there is no appreciation for what He's created. Without respecting the image, we will not respect the image bearer. In Genesis 1, it says, "Let us create man in our image, and in the image of God He created them. Male and female He created them." Well, if we don't respect our heavenly Father, there will be no respect for His earthly children. And so, yes, I do believe that we, the people, need to rediscover a respect of God. And that includes His Word, that includes His church, His Son, His statutes. And one of the most basic ways we can do that is through an attitude of thankfulness. You see, God doesn't expect us to repay Him. He's not looking for us to try to explain everything on a scientific level. And He doesn't want us to ever try and earn it. It really is enough to just stop and say thank you. And so, the way we do that best is through our praise this morning. In fact, that's what Psalm 100 is all about. Now, in my Bible, at the very beginning of Psalm 100, it gives this tagline. It says, "A Psalm of Thanksgiving." I don't know if your Bible has that, but my Bible says Psalm 100, "A Song of Praise for the Lord's Faithfulness to His People, a Psalm of Thanksgiving." And so this morning, I want to look at four parts of this psalm, four ways that we show thanksgiving through praise. And the very first one on the list is we do that through singing. We do it through singing. Notice it says in verse 1, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands." And so we sing, we shout to the Lord. But notice it's not make a haphazard shout to the Lord, not mumble something to the Lord, not be laissez-faire about it to the Lord. It says a joyful shout. We sing, and we sing passionately. I have a question. When you worship, when you sing, are you singing passionately? And I don't mean, are you loud? I don't mean, are you dancing in the aisle? Or did you bring your tambourine or your trumpet or any of those things? I mean, are you pouring your heart out to the Lord? Are you emptying yourself to the Lord? Are you giving Him all that you have? And look, I understand, not every song is for every person. Not every style is for every person. And people sometimes will worship at different levels of volume than others. Some people raise their hands, others don't. I raise my hands. I didn't used to, but now I do. And I get it. Everybody's going to do it a little differently from a visual perspective. But are you giving your all? That's the question. Not every song is for everyone. Not every genre is for everyone. But here's the thing. If our goal is to worship passionately, then the song really doesn't matter. It's just the vehicle that gets our praise to heaven. And so when we sing, when we worship, are you singing passionately? Is it Amazing Grace? Or is it Amazing Grace? It's so early. Or it's so late. Or I'm so hungry. Or He's talking so long. Look, if you've ever told your kids, say something nice to your sibling, something nice to that person, something nice about something else. You know the difference between something from the heart and something that's forced. I'll never forget 1 year. It was Christmas morning when the kids were opening their gifts. And we got to one that had been sent from a family member. Only this one, the kids had no idea what it was, and neither did we for that matter, but there it was, and they all kind of got the same thing. And I don't remember what it was, but I will tell you, in kid world, it was on the level of underwear or socks, okay? So just remember being a kid at Christmas, opening a present, and it's underwear, all right? I don't think it was, but it was something like that. Either way, they all just kind of tossed it to the side, and they were looking for the next thing. I got so mad, and I said, before we open anything else, you will stop and say something nice and say thank you for what you just received. And they did. In unison, they all went, thank you. It was the most unimpressive thank you in the history of thank yous. If we know when our kids are not being sincere, our Heavenly Father knows when we're not being sincere. And so I want to encourage you, the next time we sing praise, not just reciting the words on the screen, but sing passionately. Use them as a way to get your praise to God. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. And so we sing passionately. Another way that we say thank you through our praise is we serve joyfully. We serve joyfully. Notice verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Are you joyful when you serve? You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 that God loves a cheerful giver. Are you a cheerful giver with your time, with your effort, with your skills? When you're serving, when you're helping, is it done with gladness? And I know the minute you say the word serve, people automatically think it's the church. And oh, here he goes again. He's going to talk about volunteering in the church and signing up for ministries. Well, I'm on 8 different committees and 14 different ministries, and I'm working 28 hours a day, 9 days a week, so I can't do any more. Well, that is serving, certainly. And we have wonderful servants here at the church. I mentioned it just a minute ago. We want to highlight that. We have people, they're faithful saints of the Lord. They show up every week. And they help, and they never miss, and they're on the calendar, and they're here early, and they stay late, and they help with kids. I mean, pray for the people who help with kids. They need special blessing. They're saints of God. They're going to have a special place in heaven, but we have those. We have people that help with sound and with video and our coffee bar and our bookstore and small groups, and you name it. All through the church, there's so many of them that I can't name them all right now, but on Sunday and through the week and on Wednesday and people who do food, and there's just so many. And we're grateful for that. We really are blessed by having an army of servants here. But that's not all service is. A lot of people don't stop and consider it, but you serve the Lord through your job when you do it. Your vocation is an act of service. Paul put it this way, do all things as if unto the Lord. In the book of Colossians, he said it differently. He said, work heartily as if unto the Lord and not people. So that means when you're at work, you're working for God. You're teaching the class, you're teaching to the glory of God. You're sitting at your desk, you're there to the glory of God. You're driving a truck, you're driving that to the glory of God. You're responding to an email. Think about if Jesus were receiving that. Would you still put in there the things that are in there? Think about that email as being sent to the glory of God. You know, we might work under other people, we might be on their payroll, but we serve the Lord. I remember when I was in law enforcement, I did about 1.5 years as a corrections officer. And so I was in the jail, and part of our job was to go through each and individual inmate's room, and we would search it for contraband and weapons and drugs and all kinds of things. But the way we would search it was we would go there and we'd have to tear the beds apart and pull pillows out of pillowcases and go through all the mail and go through everything that they owned in this little cell. And look, I'm not saying that jail needs to be a summer camp. I don't believe that. But there is something to be said for the fact that we're not going to poke the bear too much and all these people are already having a rotten day and here I am making it worse. So I struggled with that personally and I went to my pastor at church. And I said, you know, this is what I'm doing. This is the job that I'm in. And he specialized in working with cops and stuff. And so he understood what it was. I told him, I'm having a hard time. If Jesus were a corrections officer, would he be doing this? And he looked at me and he said, well, let me ask you this. Is God sovereign? I said, well, of course, I believe that. God is sovereign. Do you believe he has a plan for you? Well, yes, I do. Do you think he makes mistakes? He goes, no, I don't. Do you think anything happens by random chance, or do you think that it's God's design? I said, well, the Bible says he works all things together. He said, you're absolutely right, which means you're not there randomly. He put you there for this season of life, and since you are there, for whatever reason he has you there, you have an obligation to do the best job you can do. And so I took that to heart, and I applied that to my work, and it made a whole lot of difference. Look, it doesn't matter if you're working in fast food or finance, if you're in sanitation or education, if you're blue collar or white collar. God has put you there for a season of life, for some reason. And so it calls us to serve the Lord with gladness. Now, I say all of that, but let me just expand our minds by just a little bit, like a quarter inch or something. Not a lot more, but, you know, a little bit. That word serve, you know, in the original language, it's very closely connected to another ancient Hebrew and Aramaic word that means obey. So, do you ever consider obedience to the Lord an act of service? The Bible does. Jesus said in the Great Commission, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. He said to his apostles, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. When we obey God and what he says, that is an act of service. When we obey his word and the convictions that he's put on our heart, that's an act of service. When we resist temptation and we live righteously, that's an act of service. When we abstain from certain things that God has made very clear he doesn't want us to be a part of, that's an act of service. When we bring our heart and our desires and our wants and our questions in alignment with his will, that is an act of service. Here's another one. When you forgive someone who has hurt you, that's an act of service. When you love your enemy, even though they persecute you, that's an act of service. When you show mercy to an evil person, that's an act of service. When we give up the right to personal vengeance, because the Lord has said he will judge and he will repay. Vengeance is mine, he says, declares the Lord. That's an act of service. When, for the sake of harmony in a relationship, we let something go, even though we're right, even though we've been wronged, even though they're going to get the last word, and even though it makes us look bad and it's embarrassing. When, for the sake of harmony in a relationship, we take the high road, that's an act of service. Notice the command. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Not begrudgingly, not complaining, not with resentment. Not because I don't want to, because it's early, because it's heavy, because I don't like doing that kind of thing, because it's not glamorous, or because this isn't what I signed up for, because I've got something else to do. It says, no, serve the Lord with gladness. And so when we show and say thank you through praise, we sing passionately, we serve joyfully. Third, we submit personally. Notice verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You see the word know? It means to acknowledge something as being true. And so we acknowledge the truth of the fact that the Lord, he is God. Now, I know that's not like rocket science to a church. That's something that we kind of understand at a fundamental level. But that is not obvious in the world. Everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, for many, many, many people, something else is God. The career could be their God, and that will dictate everything about their life. It'll dictate how they treat their family and the time they make for their kids and where they live and the vacations that they take and how their marriage looks. Their career will do that. Acceptance of other people, or let me rephrase that, being accepted by other people. The acceptance of other people upon us is something a lot of people make their God, and they will do anything to be liked. And if somebody doesn't like something they're doing, it doesn't matter. They'll change the way they look. They'll change their wardrobe. They'll change their behavior. They'll give up their hobbies. Some people worship the God of money, the almighty dollar, and they will do anything and everything to hoard more. Other people serve the God of pride. I was actually talking to a man recently who I believe might be serving the God of pride. He had done something that offended people around him very deeply. It hurt their feelings and embarrassed all of them. It was because of his behavior. And we were talking about it one time, and he said, you know, yeah, I did that. And I said, well, I think you should apologize because the people that were around you were bothered by this. And he looked me dead in the eye, and he said, I never apologize to anyone. That's an act of weakness, and I'm not going to do it. He hasn't done it, and those relationships have been rocky ever since. Some people worship the God of looks and beauty, and they will sit in front of a mirror and look and look and look. Some people worship the God of sports, and we have a God of sports in this country, and they live and they die by these games. I was speaking with a pastor once who said that he had never missed a Sunday morning for a football game, and he'd been in the ministry at that point for 20 or 30 years. I think he's retired now, but at that point it had been a long time, and he said he refused. He wasn't going to miss church for football. But then one day his adult son called him and said he was in town, and he'd really like to catch a football game with his dad. Well, they didn't get to spend a lot of time together, so dad thought, you know, just this once I'll go with my son, and we'll spend time together, and it happens to be a football game, but I'm going with my son. I'm not necessarily going for the game. Besides, he told me it would be interesting to find out what all these people do instead of going to church. So he got there, and he said he realized they didn't miss church. They were in church. They were in football church. And he said it was the darndest thing he ever saw. Tens of thousands of people, all wearing the church's logo. He said they showed up an hour and a half early. At his church, he said they show up late. But here, tens of thousands of people were there an hour and a half early, standing in line to get in the front door, waiting in the parking lot the entire time. He said they brought their own snacks. We didn't even have to provide refreshments. They just brought their own. And then they gave their offering on the way in the door, and many of them paid more so they could sit in the front row. He goes, in my church, the front row is a shelf because no one sits there. And then it started. As service began, he said the worship team took the field. And they came out with pom-poms and cheers and led everybody in praise and worship. And then the team came out, led by their pastor. And that pastor would call the shots and call the plays. And every now and then, he'd really drive a point home. And he said it was the biggest amen he ever heard in his entire life. 40,000 people at football church. Some people worship the God of sports. And look, I'm not saying you go to a football game and God's going to hate you for life or anything. But there's people that they live and die by that. There's the God of politics, which, let's be honest, in our country, it's kind of like sports. We have two teams, and they each have their own logo and their own colors and their own slogans and their own stars and their own people that, you know, we're cheering for and rooting for. And they go battle themselves every now and then. And the people who win celebrate. The people who lose say, well, next time we'll get you. People everywhere worship the God of politics. Now, let's not forget the God of causes. How many causes are there out there? The environment, the whales, equality, you name it. Then, of course, there is the God of power and people who will do anything to have power. And so there's a lot of gods in the world. But notice it says here, the Lord, he is God. You know, Jesus said it well, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And for a lot of folks, their heart is with their God. But here it says, the Lord, he is God. And it goes on to say, it is he who made us, not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. If you come out on Wednesday, then you know we've been going through the Old Testament minor prophets. If you don't make it on Wednesday and you haven't yet, I want to encourage you, come out, because it really is a great time. But we're going through the book of Micah right now, and this past Wednesday we were in chapter 4, and listen to what it says in chapter 4. For all people walk, each in the name of his own God. but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God. In Joshua 24, it says, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think David said it well in Psalm 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. And so here it says, the Lord, he is God. He made us. We are his people. It's his pasture. And so on one hand, it is theological. The Lord is God. But on the other hand, it's a personal statement as well, because notice it says that he made us, not we ourselves. We are his people. It's very possessive. It's very personal. It's us and it's we and it's selves and it's people and his pasture and everything, all about it is a personal thing. In fact, a relationship with God is a personal thing. That's why all through the Bible you see language like children and father and son and daughter and nephew and sister and brother. It's personal. That means when you see where it says, no, the Lord is God, that is as much a personal statement as it is a theological one. Objectively, yes, this is true, but it also must be personally true. And so the question is the Lord your God? Are you one of his people? Are you one of his sheep? Do you personally know who he is? Are you serving him with gladness? And so we say thank you through praise by submitting personally. Fourth, we show up consistently. Notice in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Now, in a literal sense, it's talking about the temple. And in ancient Israel, the temple building proper was surrounded by a number of courts. At the very beginning, you had something called the Court of Gentiles. It was the outermost court of the temple, and that's where anybody could go. If you or I went to Israel right now, we can go up to a certain point. That's the Court of the Gentiles. Beyond that is the Court of Israel, and this is where any Israelite can go. It's also called the Court of Women. But anybody can go, men, women, children. If you're Israelite, you can go into the court of Israel. Beyond that is the court of men, which only men could go. And then beyond that, you go into the temple. And in the temple, only the Levites were allowed to go, and only the priests or people who were in worship. But then you had the holy place. And only the priests, the line of Aaron, was allowed to go there. And then beyond that, you had the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest was allowed to go in there, and only one time a year. So it talks about enter his gates, enter his courts with praise. It's referring to that temple scene where the people of Israel would gather, and they would gather on the Sabbath and for festivals and for different things through the week, and they would be there, and they would be worshiping God in different settings. And so this is a call to public corporate worship, where the people of God gather to worship in a group, as a congregation. Just like we submit personally, here we worship corporately. And so, yes, this is a call for people to go to church. But more than that, notice it says enter in verse 4, enter his gates. In the original language, it's the idea of a repetitive action. It's ongoing. It's happening regularly. It's coming and going, and you're in and you're out and you're here and you've left and you've come back. In other words, it's not just once a year, only on Christmas. It's not just once in a great blue moon. It says they show up consistently. Now, that doesn't mean every day, and it doesn't mean even every week, although I would love to see everybody every week. I mean, I just think that'd be great. Imagine how on fire this church would be if every person who called this church their home was here every single week. We'd have to make the building bigger. We wouldn't be able to seat everybody. You should see it here on Christmas Eve when we have our services. We regularly have to put chairs out in the foyer, and it's just amazing how many people show up. So it doesn't mean every week, although that would be good. It does mean regularly. It does mean that gathering is a part of our normal routine. It's not this special occasion kind of thing. In Hebrews 10, it says, do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing. So it does mean that we take time to gather and give thanks. And I will tell you just something I have observed and learned over the years of watching church people and being in ministry. The more consistently someone does this, the more meaningful it does become. The more people you will meet, the more relationships you're going to develop, the more connected you will be with the fellowship at large, the more opportunities you're going to have to meet new people and strike up conversations and serve and meet a need and be helped. And to be honest, the more you're going to know what's going on, the more connected you're going to be. I often find that the people who say, you know, I didn't know that was going to happen. And I'm going, well, we've only announced it for 4 weeks in a row. I know there's some people who are tired of hearing about it, and yet this person says they've never heard about it at all. Often I find that person comes once a month. They come late. Or even if they come on Sunday, they're not in a small group. They don't go to the events. They don't do Wednesday nights. They don't do any of those things. And again, I'm not shaming anybody. I know people are busy, but it doesn't change the reality that there is a cumulative effect to just simply showing up consistently. And not only will it help you as a person coming, but it's going to help everybody around us. There is something that I like to call the ministry of presence. It's where other people see us, and we are there in proximity to one another, and we realize, hey, you know what? They're here too, and they're here. And they're struggling, and they're getting prayed for. Well, I'm going to get prayed for. It's where we remind ourselves, you know, this is a family. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to help you. We're going to try and meet your need. We have resources that we can gather together to try to help one another. In the book of Acts, it said that they brought all things in common so that everybody would have their needs met. We're going to do that kind of stuff. We're going to share our struggles. We're going to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We're going to help restore people and pray together. The Bible says, if any among you is brought down in transgression, that you who are around them, who are spiritual, restore them in an attitude of gentleness and love. And we're going to do that. But I tell you, you can't do that sitting at home. It's just the truth. We can't do that on the internet. And I know sometimes we just can't be here. We're not sick, or we are sick, so we can't come, or we're working. I get it. But I think we can all agree that it still isn't the same. And it doesn't matter how big of a screen we have in our TV. And you could have like a 150-inch high-definition plasma TV. I mean, so big that when you're watching the football game, that ball is life-size going across your screen. It still isn't going to be the same. And so we show up consistently, enter his gates with thanksgiving. The idea being that we come in and we go out and we come back, and this is a repeated thing. And so how we show our thanksgiving through praise, how we say thank you to God, we sing passionately, we pour ourselves out, we serve joyfully, we submit personally, we show up consistently, and finally we have the why. Why? Say thank you through our praise. Well, one is because of God's nature. Notice verse 5, for the Lord is good. That's the fundamental truth in our faith, that God is good. Psalm 73 starts that way. Truly, God is good. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe that. They say, well, if God is so good, then why did he let my husband die? Why did he let my wife die? Why did he let the marriage fall apart? Why did he let the parents die or the child die? If God is so good, why did he let my family get sick and go broke? And we prayed for the home, but it still was foreclosed on. We prayed for the job, and the job was still lost. If God is so good, then why does he let people go into schools with automatic weapons? If God is so good, then why does he let babies be aborted to the tune of millions? Why does he let storms and fires and tornadoes and floods and hurricanes ravage communities? If God is so good, why does he let all this bad stuff happen? And so what happens is things that don't make sense happen. And when that occurs, Satan comes along. He never misses an opportunity to whisper in the ear and say, it's because God isn't that good. And from that comes even more confusion and even more turmoil. And so when life doesn't make sense and we don't understand why, it's important to remember what we do understand, and it's a simple truth that the Lord is good. It's just a few words, and it can right the ship. Chuck Smith used to put it this way: it's a foolish mistake to give up what we do understand for what we don't understand. And so don't do that. Don't trade what you know for all the stuff you don't know. I don't know why floods happen. I don't know why God allows some of these things to take place. I don't know why we have massacres in schools. I don't know why God allows children to die and bad people to get away with it. I don't know why the world is the way the world is sometimes. But what I do know is the Lord is good. And so when what I don't know plagues my mind, I fall back on what I do know, and I do know God's nature, and I know that he's good. Also, we see God's nurture and his mercy, it says in verse 5, is everlasting. If it's one thing God loves, it's to show mercy. In Hosea 6, it says, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice." In 2 Peter 3, it tells us God isn't willing that anyone perish, but all would come to repentance. You know why? So he can show mercy. In Matthew, Jesus says in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy." And so understand that that's not a type of message that you're going to hear from Islam or Hinduism or atheism. You know, to them, God is a judge. God's angry. God's somebody to be appeased. Or God doesn't exist at all. And in the case of the atheist, not only does God not exist at all, but the universe, which does exist, doesn't care. And so I, for one, am grateful that the Lord is good and that he loves to show mercy. And so we have his nature, we have his nurture, his mercy is everlasting. And finally, we have his favor, his truth endures to all generations. You know, that means that the same God who gave truth to Abraham and Moses is the same God, and it is the same truth that we receive today. That means he is still good, just as he was when the verses were written. He still desires mercy and not sacrifice. He still wants a relationship. He still shows grace. Nothing about God changes in the least. It says here, endures to all generations. He's not one way to a certain group of people and different to others. He doesn't love certain people more than others. He doesn't favor one border over another. You know what it says in John chapter 3? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." That's a big word when you say whole world. And here it tells us that that's his favor. His truth endures to all generations. I love November and I love the fall. I love the color of the leaves as they start changing. I love the food. I love the crisp mornings. You know, we're going to get rain tonight, they're saying. I love that. We need it. Praise the Lord. I love being able to get out the comfortable clothes again and the blankets and the fires and the smell of s'mores and all the things that you do in fall. But I love the Thanksgiving. And I love being able to stop and pause, and that it causes all of us to stop and pause. And it is right that we are thankful. And one of the ways that we show our thanks is through our praise. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands." And let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is merciful, a God who loves, a God who meets us where we are and you lift us up out of it, Lord. You are a God with a plan. You're a God who's not surprised by anything that goes on in the world around us. You are a God who is worthy of our praise, and it is right that we would do that. So, Father, we thank you, and we just ask that as we praise you, as we pour our heart out to you, that we would serve you with gladness, remembering all the things that you did for us through Christ. I pray, Lord, that that as we do that, as we serve you, that we bring our life into alignment with the will that you have for us. Because we know, Lord, ultimately that's the vein of blessing. That's where we want to be. That's where the current is. And we know that in your will is more blessing than anything we could ever imagine out of your will. Anything we could ever conjure up is just pennies compared to the glories and the riches that you have in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for that. And, Lord, I pray that as we do all of these things, as we consider our thankfulness to you, as we dedicate our lives to serving you, Lord, I pray that we would remember and that we would reflect on why. Because you are good. Because you are merciful. Because you created us. Because you called us. Because you loved us. You loved us before we loved you. And Lord, because the love that you have shown through the years is the same love that's still available. So Lord, we thank you for that too. Father, please bless us and keep us safe as we leave here and bring us back again as we worship you joyfully, making a joyful shout. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand as we close?
Especially this evening in the rains, Lord. Bring us back again to worship you. In your name I pray. Amen. I hope you have a great week. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 5:15, we have our family meals, followed by our verse-by-verse service. God bless you.